Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your scriptures here today. We now pray as we open up your word this morning that you will be teaching us, guiding us, and changing us by what we read. Please remove all distractions from us now so that we can hear you clearly this morning. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Now, when I was a child, my dad worked for Qantas. Now, one of the perks of his jobs was that he got cheap airfares all around the world. But there was a catch. Whenever we travelled, because we were representing Qantas, there was a number of things that we had to do when we travelled. We were called to live up to the Qantas way of flying. Now, one of these things which we needed to do when we travelled was each time we would need to be dressed in a suit and tie when we travelled. This was regardless of our destination. Now, I remember one of the trips we were traveling to Hawaii, and here I am along with my family, all dressed up in our suit and tie, ready to fly to Hawaii with all the other guests, being dressed in boardies and t-shirts. All I ever wanted to do was to travel in normal clothes like everybody else. Now, to make matters worse, we also had to be on our best behavior for the whole flight, all 10 hours of it to Hawaii. For how we dressed and how we acted, that reflected back on Qantas. If we dressed badly or if we behaved badly, that would reflect back on Qantas. See, we were called to a higher standard. We were called to the Qantas way of flying. And when we turn to our reading which we had this morning from Hebrews, we see a very similar thing today. For we have come to the so what of the book of Hebrews. We have come to the what does it mean for me part of Hebrews. And our passage for today, it actually starts back at verse 28 of chapter 12 with yet another therefore. If you have your Bibles open, turn back with me and have a look at verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. You see, the author here, he's outlining because of all the things that he has already spoken about in the last 12 chapters. All these great things which we now have because of what Jesus has done for us. With all these great things that we now benefit from, we are to respond in thanks and worship to God. We are to respond in godly living. And he then outlines in this final chapter of Hebrews what this looks like in the life of a Christian. And he does this by listing a whole pile of exhortations here. So let's have a look together at these exhortations, beginning in verse 1. Now, actually, the first three verses, they don't really reveal any mind-blowing revelations. In fact, they actually appear pretty unexciting. For we read, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Show hospitality. Oh, and remember to pray for those who are in prison. Well, these pretty unexciting exhortations here are actually the fundamentals to godly living. Jesus himself said in John 13, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." See, Christians, we are called to love one another. We are called to support one another in prayer and also in hospitality. Remember back to last week where we saw that the Christian walk, it is not a solo walk, no. The Christian walk is a communal walk. We saw this in verse 15. "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." The Christian walk is one of love and support for one another. Well, after these fundamentals for godly living that is revealed in the first three verses, the author in verse 4 reveals two of the greatest hindrances to godly living, being inappropriate sex and the love of money. Now, our society today, it teaches us that both of these things are not a hindrance, but in fact, both of these things are something that we should be longing for. See, marriage is no longer honored. The marriage bed is definitely no longer kept pure. Anything is fine so long as it's consensual. Affairs, they're no longer considered immoral, but instead, they are actually the basis of a number of reality TV shows currently airing on TV right now. And when we turn and look at money, our whole Western society is based around the love of money. All you need to do is turn on the TV and see the ads for Lotto. Listen to the catchphrases. Imagine. Wouldn't it be nice? All tempting you to love money, to want more. Well, despite what our society tries to teach us today, the author of Hebrews here in chapter 13 makes it very clear. Inappropriate sex and the love of money are both destructive to godly living. He points out that God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. And when we turn to our first reading from Matthew chapter 6, which we had this morning, we see that Jesus teaches us that in regards to money, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, whilst we were at college in our final year, we were warned by the retired Archbishop of Sydney, Peter Jensen, that the three biggest vices for the failure of ministers are sexual misconduct, the love of money, and the abuse of power. Now, this is not surprising, is it, here, that we find the top two of these vices which cause ministers to fail listed here in Hebrews 13. See, they're well documented throughout all of Scripture as being hindrances to godly living. And it's a wonder why they cause ministers to fail. Therefore, we all together need to take verse 15 of chapter 12 very seriously. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We need to be encouraging one another so that none of us slips into any of these hindrances. And when we actually do this, we actually are fulfilling the first exhortation to love one another. We are caring for our fellow brothers and sisters by supporting them so that they don't fall short of the grace of God. Well, in the next exhortation, which is found in verse 7, the writer encourages his readers to remember their leaders. Their leaders who had spoke the word of God to them. He encourages them to consider their life and to imitate their faith. That is, their faith in Jesus and what he has done for them. Remember, their leaders were the ones who had actually brought them the gospel, who had told them the message that Jesus had died for them, that Jesus was their high priest that is now interceding for them with God in heaven, seated on the throne. And in verse 9, the writer of Hebrews, he proceeds with one final focusing on Jesus as the source of not only our salvation, but also as the source of our godly living. Have a look with me from verse 9. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which have no benefit for those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. See, the writer here, he's pointing out to his readers that there is no benefit in eating the ceremonial food. Those who still work in the tabernacle, that's the old covenant. Jesus has fulfilled it. They don't have a right to come to the table now because they're trusting in their own ways, not in what Jesus has done for them. See, there is no benefit in going back to the old Jewish sacrificial system, eating those meals, relying on the old covenant. The writer here is reminding his readers that they have a high priest who has paid the price for their sin. He has taken away the punishment. He has made his people holy by his own blood. And he's now seated on the throne at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. See, the writer here, he wants his readers to focus on Jesus, to unite themselves with him. He doesn't want them to be focusing on the Jewish temple or even the old covenant at all. No, he's highlighting the only way to live a godly life is through Jesus. For he says in verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You see, we only ever live godly lives in response to what Jesus has done for us, in praise and thanksgiving to God. We don't live them as some sort of way of trying to earn merit with God. It's kind of like Princess Mary of Denmark. You see, Princess Mary, she was not born of noble birth. In fact, she was born as an Australian girl, a Hobartian at that. But Princess Mary, she did not stay as an Australian. She did not stay as a peasant girl from Hobart. No, she's now a princess and is awaiting to be crowned Queen of Denmark. But what was it that actually made her a princess and a queen in waiting? Was it because she showed some good princess qualities, maybe? Well, if you remember the story about how Princess Mary and Prince Frederick met, you see that she showed no princess qualities whatsoever. She met Prince Frederick in a pub in Sydney, not a high, flashy place, or a place where you'd expect a princess to be hanging out. The thing that made her a princess was purely Prince Frederick's love for her. And only after this love was shown to her, and with a lot of help, I'm sure, did she start to show some princess qualities. And it's the same for us. As Christians, we don't show any Christian qualities. We don't show any aspect of godly living until we have been shown the love of Christ. And only after we've been shown that love, the love of Christ, can we, through Jesus, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Therefore, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, and all the more encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your words to us this morning. Today we especially want to thank you that because of what Jesus has done for us, we can offer our lives as living sacrifice of praise to you. We pray today that we would be modeling our life around Jesus and around your word, and that we'll be loving and caring for one another. We also pray that you would be helping us to flee from sexual immorality and from the love of money, which so easily hinder our relationships with you. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.